I want to invite you this morning, if you would, to take your Bibles with me and turn to the Old Testament book of Job this morning. Normally, we would look at, we would be looking at Amos, but we're going to take a pause from that just for a little while here today. And look at something else. And I wonder why God sometimes changes up things the way He does. I know now why this has been changed the way it has today. And I'm sure that there's other reasons as well that I am not aware of. But I know that God knows exactly where we are at and what we are facing and what we're going through right now. Job chapter 1 is where we're going to look at for just a few minutes. And then we're going to look at some other things throughout the Word of God here. So just bear with me here this morning as we look at these things. Okay? Now, the Bible tells us this. If you're there, first of all, say amen. Amen. Now, the Bible tells us this. It says in chapter 1 of the book of Job, in verse 1, there was a man in the land of Uz whose name was Job, and that man was blameless and upright, fearing God and turning away from evil. And 7 sons and 3 daughters were born to him. His possessions also were 7,000 sheep, 3,000 camel, 500 yoke of oxen, 500 female donkeys, and very many servants. And that man was the greatest of all the men of the East. Father God, I pray this morning, Lord, that you would just in this time, that Lord, first of all, give me the ability to convey the message that you have laid on my heart. God, I pray that you would show me what needs to be said, and Father, how to say it. I pray, God, most of all, that, Lord, these people who are here with me in this auditorium and those that will listen by the internet, that God, more importantly, they hear from you today. That God, that still small voice, that, Lord, today it would be ever so loud in our hearts and our lives today, that our lives may be changed forever, that the power we need to continue on is ours today. This we pray in the precious name of your Son, Jesus. Amen and amen. Have you ever been around somebody that for whatever reason, my gracious alive, it seems as if they had it all and everything was going their way? I mean everything. They had everything that their hearts desired, and they were just someone that society and those around them longed and looked up to and quite honestly wanted to be them. Well, Job is that man. The Bible tells us here in the Old Testament that Job was a man who had it all. The Bible says that he had a humongous family, 7 sons, 3 daughters, a tremendous amount of livestock, the Bible tells us there, some 7,000 sheep, 3,000 camel, 500 yoke of oxen, and my gracious. I want you to think about this for just a moment. Then he had to have all the people to help take care of all that stuff. And not only did he have to have the people to take care of all that stuff, then he had to have somewhere to put all those things. Job was a very wealthy man, had all that his heart desired according to this. And the Bible says that he stood out as well, not only for the possessions he had, but also because he feared God. He feared God. He was a believer in Yahweh God. He was the man that not only he had all these things, not only did he get all of this wealth, but he also was a believer and was not ashamed of being that believer. Have you ever been around somebody like that? I mean, man, they had it all. They got everything their hearts desired and seemed as if society could provide. And not only that, but they were a true believer. Wow. Man, how does people get to that point? How does people come to that point to where they see and it seems as if everything is going just perfect in their life, that everybody wants to be them? You know the story of Job as well as I do. The Bible goes on to tell us that Job lost it all. Lost everything he had. Lost his family, all this livestock, all of those servants, all of it gone. Except for a godly wife. I say that sarcastically. And three friends that could be counted as enemies. The Bible says that Job, once he had lost all things that he had, all of his possessions that he had, and he had been affected, if you will, from the crown of his head to the sole of his feet, covered in sores. The Bible says that he was sitting out in the yard in a pile of ashes. And the point that one time when all of these sores on him, he was taking a piece of pottery and literally scraping those sores off of his body. Man. Bible says that his wife gives him some good advice, tells him just to cuss God and die. You'd be a whole lot better off, boy. Then his friends begin to show up, tell him, say, listen, you're the reason that you're in this situation. You're the reason that you're having all these problems. You're the reason you've lost everything that you've got. You. The Bible tells us very clearly, though, in Job chapter 16, verse 12, what his problem was. Job himself says, I was at ease. He had gotten to that point where he was complacent in his life. He was complacent in his belief. And Job cannot see what you and I see. Job cannot see, pull back the spiritual curtains, if you will, and see how Satan is going before God and asking God permission to do all of these things to Job. He can't see that. So Job is living through one of the most terrible times that any human being can go through. Losing everything. Not knowing which way to turn. Not knowing which way to go. Maybe there's somebody in here this morning. You hadn't lost everything, but right now at this point, boy, you sure are low today. You may be feeling like Job was that day when you were sitting out, and you may feel as if you are sitting out in the yard covered in sores and wishing that this day would end. Wishing that this would all be over with. I don't know who you are this morning sitting in this auditorium today. I don't know who you are listening by the internet, but there's somebody here today that needs to hear this. And I want to encourage you with all my heart this morning. I'm going to give you something to do here before you leave this morning. I want to encourage you that you act not upon what this preacher says, but what the Spirit leads you to do today. I want to encourage you to turn to the one that can help you rather than turning to the things of this world. Now see, Job is one of those people here who experienced one of life's greatest benefits, and that's having it all and then seeing it all just go away. The book of Habakkuk tells us the same thing there. If you read, and you don't have to turn there, you may just want to write this down, but in Habakkuk chapter 1, verses 1 through 4, we find that Habakkuk himself, and I'm paraphrasing this, literally says, God, where in the world are you at? You ever been like that in your life? I mean, have you ever been to that point in your life where all of the things that are transpiring around you, all of the things that are happening around you, you have literally come to the point and cried out, God, where in the world are you at? It is as if, God, you don't even exist. God, I'm praying my heart out. Lord, I am longing to hear from you, and I hear absolutely nothing. You ever been there? Boy, I've been there. Habakkuk, sitting on the fence of the land he owned, looked out across the horizon, and there came marching a huge army about to devastate his property and all those around him. And he literally cries out, God, where are you at? But there is an example that I really want us to focus in on this morning that really speaks volumes to where we find ourselves here today. And I want this to be a message of encouragement to you today. One that will give us something to do as believers. Hopefully it will open our eyes and get us to begin to look at things in our lives and see things as God sees them rather than how we see them. And you have to turn all the way back to the book of 1 Kings with me. Turn to 1 Kings chapter 18. This message began earlier this week as I was reading God's Word. And I love this story here in 1 Kings chapter 18. As a pastor, I long to experience something like this just once. 1 Kings chapter 18. And you can, I'm not going to read all of this to you if you'll allow me just to summarize what we're looking at here. It's the story of Elijah. Many of you remember Elijah, who Elijah was. He was one of the prophets. He was a prophet in the nation of Israel. In fact, at this point right here, he is the only prophet left. He's the man, so to speak. Now, the nation of Israel had turned their back on God, the Bible tells us here, and began to worship Baal. And in fact, the prophets of Baal way outnumbered. And you read here beginning in chapter 18, starting down at about verse 20 there. And if you read and read all of that story, you'll notice and you'll see the confrontation that the prophets of Baal and Elijah have on Mount Carmel. You remember this story, don't you? You remember how Elijah himself says to the people there, he says, okay, you folks got to choose today which one you're going to serve. Either you're going to serve Yahweh God or you're going to serve Baal. The choice is yours. But now before you make your decision, if you will, allow me to show you and give a little demonstration. In fact, let's just put this thing to the test, shall we? All of you prophets of Baal, what I want you to do is I want you to build you an altar and make your sacrifices on this altar. And once you make that, then begin to cry out to your God and your gods. And if your God consume that sacrifice and that altar, then we'll flat sure worship Baal today. But once you finish all of that, then it's my turn. And I will build an altar, and I will place a sacrifice on that altar, and I'll do the same. And whichever God responds, that's the God we're going to go with. I love this story. The Bible says that the prophets, Elijah lets the prophets of Baal go first. You boys go first. All right, they get out there, they build their altar, they put their sacrifice on it, they begin to dance around, holler, scream, carry on, and absolutely nothing happens. The Bible says they go as far as this, that they even begin to self-mutilate themselves, they begin to cut themselves and bleed for their God. Elijah's sitting under the shade tree. I love this one. Sitting under the shade tree. Maybe he's asleep. Maybe God, your God's on vacation. Maybe he's gone. And I can just see him now dancing around out there and carrying on and all these things. And finally, Elijah says, that's enough, boys. Y'all sit down. Y'all just sit down and allow me now to do something. I want you to look. I really want you to look at something. Look at verse 30 there of chapter 18. Verse 30, chapter 18, excuse me, yes, verse 30, chapter 18, the Bible tells us this. Then Elijah said to all of them, this is after all of them danced around and carried on everything, okay, the prophets of Baal. Then Elijah said to all the people, come near to me. So all the people came near to him, and he repaired the altar of the Lord which had been torn down. Listen to this. The altar of Yahweh God did not even exist anymore. It had been torn down. It was gone. It was as if the building that you and I set in today, we pulled up here today and it wasn't nothing but a pile of rubble. That's what it was. So Elijah had to rebuild that altar to begin with. These folks were so far away from God that they were clueless. The Bible says that Elijah rebuilt that altar, and once he rebuilt that altar, he placed sacrifice on this altar, and once he did that, he said, you would have thought that right then, all right, let's get out the matches, let's call on God, let's see this thing go up in flames. But he doesn't. He finds some servants, says, all right, y'all go fill up all those buckets with water and douse down this altar. Get it good and soaking wet. They go out and get all the water, douse down the altar, and sure enough, that ain't enough. Y'all go do it one more time. They do it again. That ain't enough. Go do it one more time. The Bible says that there was so much water on this altar that it ran down the side and filled up the trenches that surrounded that altar. The Bible says that Elijah just cried out to God, God, I am your servant, so that you may be glorified today. And woof! Fire fell from heaven, consumed the sacrifice, the altar, and the Bible says dried up every bit of the water in the trench. It's gone. I can almost see it in my mind's eye now, the prophets of Baal. Easing off. And Elijah says, catch him. Don't let him get away. Today we're serving Yahweh God. And by the way, take these boys down to the Kishon Creek and kill them. And that's exactly what they did. Boy, you know what? As a pastor, as a preacher, I've always not wanted to take anybody down. Well, wait a minute. I've always wanted to just pray a prayer and see God's response instantaneous like Elijah did. You ever been there before? Man, just to see, just God, let us just see something miraculous. And Elijah saw it. Went and killed all of these prophets, had them executed. The Bible tells us down there about verse 40 that all of that happened, but lo and behold, you would think that this man was on cloud 9 right now, wouldn't you? I mean, he is at the height of his walk as a believer and as a prophet. But he gets his legs cut out from under him. Notice this with me at verse 41. This is after the prophets have been executed. In verse 41, the Bible tells us this. Now Elijah said to Ahab, go up, eat, and drink, for there is the sound of a roar of a heavy shower. So Ahab went up to eat and drink, but Elijah went up to the top of Mount Carmel, and he crouched down on the earth and put his face between his knees, and he said to his servants, go up now, look toward the sea. So he went up and looked and said, there is nothing. And he said, go back 7 times. And it came about that on the 7th time he said, behold, a cloud as small as a man's hand is coming up from the sea. And he said, go up, say to Ahab, prepare your chariot and go down so that the heavy shower does not stop you. So it came about in a little while that the sky grew black with clouds and wind, and there was a heavy shower, and Ahab rode and went to Jezreel. You got to remember, Isaiah is the one that also said there'll be no rain or anything like that. You got to remember, that's another sermon though. And now it's happening. It's raining, okay? Verse 46 says, then the hand of the Lord was on Elijah. Listen to this. This man is at the height of his ministry. Man, the hand of God is upon him. And he girded up his loins and out ran Ahab to just, this joker was getting it. I mean, he outrun the boy in a chariot. I mean, he's flying. He is at the top of his game as a minister, as a believer. But then Ahab got back to Jezebel. In verse 1 of chapter 19, the Word of God tells us, "And Ahab told Jezebel all that Elijah had done." Uh-oh. "And how he had killed all the prophets with the sword. Then Jezebel sent a messenger to Elijah saying, 'So may the gods do to me even more if I do not make your life as one of them by tomorrow at this time.'" In other words, boy, you will be dead by this time tomorrow. Keep in mind now, this man has just prayed and God acted like that. He had prayed and the Bible said it began raining at his word. This man, as it is at the top of his game, this woman, Jezebel, says, "I will take you out by this time tomorrow." Do you think he should have been scared? Shoot, no, he shouldn't have been scared. The hand of God is upon him. The hand of God is on his life. The hand of God is on him. You would think he would have sent a messenger back to it and said, "Sister, bring it on. Bring you and your whole army. I don't care. God's on my side." Is that what he did? Nope. Of course not. If you know the story found here about what he did, and just follow me here for just a moment. Go down now to verse 9 in chapter 19, and let's see what did Elijah do. This is the man of God now. God's hands on him. Just took out all the prophets of Baal. Caused it to rain. God's power is flowing through him. Man, he has it all. And in verse 9, the Bible says, "Then he came there to a cave and lodged there, and behold..." You would think he would have told Jezebel, "Bring it on," but the Bible says this boy run off and hid in a cave simply because she said, "I'm going to take you out. He is the last prophet standing. I'm going to take you out. You have killed all these prophets. I'm going to take you out now." You would think that Elijah would have said in his heart and in his mind, "You know what? I have God on my side. Through God, I can do anything. That's been proven in my life. Through God, I can do anything. And surely this one woman that has threatened me with my life, surely she can't stop me." The Bible says he does just the opposite. The Bible tells us in verse 9, "Then he came to a cave and lodged there." Listen to this. Follow me though. "And behold, the word of the Lord came to him, and he said to him, 'What are you doing here, Elijah?'" Why are you hiding in this cave? Is what God's asking him. Why are you here? Look at verse 10. "And he said, 'I have been very zealous for the Lord, the God of hosts, for the sons of Israel have forsaken thy covenant, tore down the altars, killed the prophets with the sword, and I alone am left. And they seek my life to take it away now. And they after me. And I'm the last one standing, God. That's the reason I'm in this cave. I'm scared. I am scared almost to death." And the Bible goes on and tells us this. "So he said, 'Go forth and stand on the mountain before the Lord.'" I'm sure that thrilled his heart. "Oh, wait a minute, God. You mean to tell me you want me to go out there and expose myself? This woman's trying to kill me, and you want me to go out there and stand out in the yard? Here I am. Is that what you want me to do, God?" That's exactly what I want you to do. He goes on and says, "And behold, the Lord was passing by, and a great and strong wind was rending the mountains and breaking into pieces rocks before the Lord. But the Lord was not in the wind. And after the wind and earthquake, but the Lord was not in the earthquake. And after the earthquake, a fire, but the Lord was not in the fire. And after the fire, a sound of gentle blowing, a still, small voice. And it came about when Elijah heard it that he wrapped his face in his mantle and went out and stood in the entrance of the cave. And behold, a voice came to him and said, "What are you doing here, Elijah?" Then he said, "I have been very zealous for the Lord, the God of hosts, for the sons of Israel have forsaken thy covenant, torn down the altars, and killed the prophets of the sword. And I alone am left, and they seek my life to take it away." I love this. Did you catch it? Did you get it? Friend, listen to me. It hit me like a ton of bricks when I read that this week. Here is the man that is at the top of his game, spiritually speaking. His legs have been cut out from under him. He is at the lowest point in his life. These people are wanting to kill him. Rather than turning to God, he turns and runs and hides in a cave. How many of us in our life have been walking through hard times and have run and hid in the cave, not remembering that we serve the very creator of this universe? I have. The Bible says that as he was in this cave, that a mighty wind come by. The Bible says, busting up rocks. That's good South Alabama English. There it is. Busting up rocks. The Bible says after that quit, there was no sound from God. Then the Bible says that an earthquake hit. I don't know if you've ever been in an earthquake. I've only been in a small one. It actually hit Phoenix City, Alabama when I was a small boy. And you ain't lived till the ground under your feet starts shaking. That will get your attention. The Bible says that this happened to Elijah, but God was never heard in that. And then the Bible says that a fire came through the mountain where he was at. I'm sure destroying everything. I think of the images in California this time of year. It seems like those people, my gracious, they fight these things every year. Just consuming everything in its path. But God was not heard even in that. I think back of Moses in the burning bush and the voice of God speaking through that bush. But Elijah heard nothing. But then there's that small voice that reminds Elijah who he's serving. There's that still, small voice. And I said all of that to say this. You know, sometimes God has to send a mighty wind, an earthquake, and fire in our life before we can ever really hear His voice. Listen to me. Have you ever thought about what you may be walking through in your life as a believer today? What you are, the road you are walking down today. That you are walking that road and God is trying His best to get your attention today. And that still, small voice is speaking ever so gently right now. Well, what in the world do I do, preacher? When I became a believer, I didn't sign up for this one. Can I share this with you? If you're walking through a hard time in your life today and God's trying His best to get your attention, I'm here to tell you, you're right where you need to be. You are exactly what you have lost your mind, preacher boy. You mean to tell me that I need to be walking, going through this time? You're exactly right. You know why? Because the Bible tells me that God chastens them whom He loves. And if you are walking through that, if you're going through that hard time, it shows that your Heavenly Father loves you and He's trying His best to show you and give you a direction that you and I ought to be going in our life. The question is today, are we going to be like Elijah, run hide in the cave, or are we going to stand on the mountaintop and actually listen to that voice and what it's saying? I pray that today in this service right here, right now, that you actually listen to that voice and respond this morning. Father God, thank you so much for your word. Thank you for the power that's found therein. God, I pray now for each and every one of us that, Lord God, we would be receptive and obedient to the leadership of your Spirit in this service this morning. I pray, God, we would not do as Elijah did years ago to begin with, and that's run, hide. Today, God, we would be mindful of the fact of who we serve and how powerful you are. God, through you today, we can do all things. We can make it through whatever life brings our way. God, I pray that if there is a direction that you're trying to lead us and show us, and possibly something in our life that's not what it ought to be, through what we're walking through now, God, we would see that. And Father, right here this morning now, that God, we would not rely on our strength, but we would rely on your strength to correct that today. If it's sin, God, may we repent today. May we ask for your forgiveness. And Lord, rely on you. God, if it's just something that we're facing that we just need your touch and your leadership in, your direction, your wisdom, Father, I pray today that we would come to you for that. That we would, right now, stop trying on our own, all alone, and begin to rely on you. My friend, with every head bowed and every eye closed, the Spirit of God is speaking to your heart this morning. Listen, you may not need to come to a pastor, preacher. You may just need to come to this altar and get on your knees today and say, God, today I just need your help. He knows what you're going through. He knows what you're facing. He knows what the situation is better than you do. But today you just need to come to Him and say, today, God, is the day. I quit relying on myself. I quit trying to do all this myself. I quit hiding in the cave. I quit running from it. Lord, I start running to you for the help that only you can give. You need to come right now. You don't even have to wait till we start singing. The altar's open right now. You need to come. You come on right now. You need somebody to pray with you, with the minister down front. Be more than happy to pray with you right now. And Father, we do pray through this time of invitation, that Lord God, today, that your Spirit speak, and that Father, your power is experienced. I pray that today, Lord, the people who have walked in this place, Father, physically drained, spiritually, emotionally drained, that today they walk out of here renewed, refreshed, and God, through you, able to handle whatever life brings their way. Lord, this is our prayer today. In the precious name of your Son, Jesus Christ, I pray. Amen and amen. Brother Allen, you live.